Kane is in the building.
The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Welcome in to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9. It is Thursday. It is the 30th day of July 2020. My goodness, that's right. August 1st, right around the corner tonight. Opening night of the NBA season. That's right, folks. We're going to have professional shooty hoops on the television this evening in games that matter. Not just exhibitions, but games that matter with a doubleheader on TNT beginning at 6:30. Danica Haviland, Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino filling in once again for Matt Shepard, who has shifted gears into Tigers baseball. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Our auto value guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. We're on Twitter at XB Mornings, on Facebook at X's and Bros, and good morning to all of our television viewers as well on Comcast Channel 900. If you miss any portion of the show, any interview, anything you want to catch up on, you can find our podcast wherever you prefer to get your podcast, whether it's SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio. It's all over the map. You could tweet at us individually if you would like to. Dan is at Dan in the Studio. Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key. And I am at AC Bellino. Good morning, gentlemen, in the studio. Dan, Ryan, how are we this morning? Are we doing all right? Are we still enjoying the roller coaster that is this Tigers baseball season? The up and down, up and down, up and down. Dub last night. This is intense.
It's been six games. I know it's, 10% of the season, but
10% of the season.
It doesn't,
Dan,
seem like it. It's just, they're 4-2. I guess we should be excited.
Yeah. Of course, we should.
Their alleged best pitcher is not doing so well, but they keep getting wins.
Best pitcher's not doing well. I think one person hitting over 300. Run differential of -9. But first place in the wild card. Let's go.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Let's be honest. Stats are for losers. Didn't Herm Edwards once say that? Stats are for losers. Doesn't matter what the numbers equate to. As long as the win column is more than the loss column and the win column is competitive within the league, we've got ourselves a ball game. And the Tigers season, my goodness, another dub last night. Got to be feeling pretty good about where we stand, even though this season is pretty wild so far. Pretty wild. And this is what baseball has never had before. And I've talked about it almost ad nauseum here, and that is the fact that it's never had urgency. It has never once had urgency in a season, right? And you can't tell me that the last week of the season is where they would have where the urgency would be. Right, because it's there for everybody in every sport and every season the last week, just about. For this team, for this entire league right now, the race for the playoffs, that chase is on. And it was on since opening night. And you mentioned six games down. That is 10% of the season. You gotta be feeling good. AB with the sweet button-up polo. Looks like someone is golfing after the show. You know what? No, I just have a plethora of polos. So I just... What I do is I just rotate through them that way, just one after another. Just go right through them. Not playing any golf after. I got to, I have to do this morning or at some point today. I think I'm going to do it later on this afternoon after we hoist Dan. Dan, after we hoist.
Oh, yeah, we got to hoist today for sure.
And that is the, I have to go over to a friend's and complete a gutter project that I started 2 days ago, but I have to go buy a piece of gutter at a hardware store and then go. The gutters were intense. It's something I didn't know that trees could grow out of gutters, but there were trees growing out of these gutters.
You're a good friend. That's like something that you do, like, you know, if your grandma asks, if your mom asks, you're just doing it for a friend. You're helping with gutters. You're
And a friend in need, that type of deal. And it was like, hey, you know what? This is something that I can do. It's really not that big a deal. And I'm not, you know, you're not going to pay me for it. I'm just going to go. I went over there Tuesday. It took me like, I want to say an hour, hour and a half to get a majority of the house done. I just have to replace one portion of the gutter and get one more part by the driveway. But she can't be up on a ladder. Like, come on. Like, that's ridiculous. So piece of cake. We'll knock it out. No big deal. And we'll get up and get after it. Busy show today, though. However, James Edwards of The Athletic, he will join us. We'll be talking about the NBA. The big news yesterday is the fact that the Pistons are no longer, after the 2021 season, are no longer going to be used Grand Rapids. The Drive are going to be no more when it comes to the affiliate of the Detroit Pistons. They're moving their G League team downtown to Wayne State's facility. What will they name the G League team? Are we going to have our own naming contest here? I've got my pick for what I want to see this new G League team be, but this is something that Dwayne Casey believes in. It's something that the front office believes in, and that is having, you know, maybe not even necessarily in the same city, but having a G League team that's in close proximity that they can use, much like the minor league system. Adam Levitan, who writes for and established TheRun.com, he's the co-founder of that site. He'll join us on some football and do some topics there. And the Orlando bubble, the NBA is back. It begins tonight. The exhibition games have been fantastic viewing experience in the NHL as well. I was watching some games yesterday, and I was just really, really pleased with everything that I saw from a viewership standpoint. What's going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the headlines real quick.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, huge news. We are going to start with MLBs are now requiring teams to add a coronavirus protocol compliance officer. Where was this opening day? Is this going to be like an NCAA compliance officer? Probably. MLB is also mulling 7-inning doubleheaders, according to sources. I have no problem with this. I know that Ryan, I think Ryan was tweeting about it last night about the fact that, hey, we already put the runner on second for games that go long. Like, why shorten up the doubleheader? I think the actual game should be 7 innings. I mean, the reason to play 9, like, what are we doing? But, hey, neither here nor there. I'm good with them shortening it up and calling them 7-inning doubleheaders. The Dodgers pitcher Joe Kelly has been suspended eight games by Major League Baseball for his incident with the Astros. This makes absolutely no sense. What that really like is over 20 games in a regular season. And I think it's a shame. I think that MLB got it wrong. And I think the guy that he was throwing at, for good reason, Anthony, that guy with that name on his jersey.
You don't have to think it was wrong. It was wrong.
The pitch at the head was a little egregious.
The Astros did not get suspended. They literally cheated their way to a World Series.
Thank you.
And not one of them.
Faced zero repercussion.
That, and Manfred didn't want to suspend players because he wanted to protect them and give them a safe space to talk. This is what happened when you protect the players. You leave it to the other players to police, something that we have to hear about from all the old-timers of why this game is great, because it polices themselves. But when they do police it themselves, all of a sudden that's the wrong thing to do. And you suspend the person trying to carry out what your fans want, is policing the game themselves.
It's almost as if you got placed in witness protection without having actual witness protection, if that makes sense. It's like you're going to testify against the mob, and then they're going to be like, oh, okay, great. You could still live on 3rd Street, no big deal. And it's like, well, huh, wait a minute here. Like, that's how I feel about this.
Still live on 3rd Street. We'll give you a scarlet letter, like, to put on your chest, and, you know, we're all good, right?
Everything will be fine. The Cubs completed their franchise's first triple play in 23 years. How about that? Tigers beat the Royals last night 5-4. More on that coming up. Chiefs running back Damian Williams has opted out of the 2020 season. Kenny Galladay, TJ Hockenson, among 5 Lions players listed on the COVID-19 list. That's not good. That is not good. It's we'll have to wait and see what's going on with that, but that number seems a little bit high. Let's step aside. When we come back, we're going to hop back into that Tigers game from last night. All that and more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at hashtag PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan at gmail.com.
These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value Parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at MyAutoValueStore.com. That's MyAutoValueStore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.
Quiet strength. It is informational and pragmatic. It is compassionate, determined, relentless, and giving. Quiet strength comes from the heart, and it also comes from the brain. Wanting to do the right thing is noble, but discovering how to do the right thing is impactful and lasting. The rehabilitation of traumatic brain injury is what we do at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor. The knowledge, the expertise, the innovation, they come from the brain. Dedicating our lives to the lives of those affected by TBI is also what we do at the Eisenhower Center. The compassion, the respect, the concern, they come from the heart. Our goal is to share our quiet strength with you.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Text the keyword sports radio to 21,000, sports radio to 21000, or call us the Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527. I'm Anthony Bellino. I'm coming to you live from the basement radio bunker. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the studio. Be sure to tweet at us as well at XB Mornings. Big game last night for the Detroit Tigers as they improve to 4-2 on the year. They have now won back-to-back series. Did they win back-to-back series all year last year? Like, I'm on the magic, you know, anytime, and I'm all in on this. You know, you guys had a while back, you had Railroad Rodriguez, Ronnie.
Of course.
Yeah, that guy. I'm on the Gregory's. I'm on the wow, I just had a total mind blank there, by the way. I'm on the Soto train.
Just, it's because he's had a good week. You're just feeling it. You think he's going to, you know, be like the Tigers' best reliever of all time now or what?
I mean, I got to have something to root for. I got to have, you know, as a fellow member of the Bajos de Haina Dominican Republic resident, see, sure. I'm going to go with Soto. That's my guy. And who was tweeting about him last night? Like, oh, he's up in the bullpen. I was like, yeah, here we go. Like, I'm on the Soto train. Let's go.
We've got
off to a hot start. He needs our support. You got to have a little faith. You got to have a little belief. You got to get something going here.
We finally got one good week out of a relief pitcher, and we think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. We've been waiting so long for somebody to be consistent out of the bullpen. I remember, what was it, probably 2016, 2017, Alex Wilson had, like, the best first half of a Tigers reliever ever. He had, like, a .94 ERA. And then the second half, he just stunk, and obviously he hasn't really been good since.
Now he's officially retired as of, like, 3 days ago.
You're going to have that. Sometimes you're going to have guys that, let's face it, they just don't pan out. But for me, I mean, think about it. Who would have been the closer in, like, the World Series run against the Cardinals? Was that 06, 07?
That was Todd Jones was on the team.
Todd Jones. Okay, so you had Todd Jones. Who else? That early.
Jason Grilli, maybe? Was that too early?
Too soon? But you think about, can you have somebody who can last multiple years? And who we're all chasing is Mariano Rivera. That's all any franchise wants, is one guy that comes in and just shuts it down. Just shuts it down. And you know when that guy trots out on the field, like this one is in the bag. I'm not saying Soto's going to be that, but for the time being, he stood up in the bullpen last night, and I felt a little bit of a wave of excitement. That's what I felt. I felt myself going, okay, it's game time.
You don't feel that way about Jimenez yet? I know he's been, you know, a bit of a roller coaster, which we like to use around here. But he's 3 for 3, right?
He might even be better than that. He might have 4. Does he have 4?
He just
picked
his 4th up.
So he's 4 for 4. You're not talking about him? Is it because we've seen
him
fall apart?
Is it Joe the Sandman Jimenez? I didn't know if you were going with his full name. That's his government-issued name, by the way. The Sandman in between. Look, it could be him, and I would have no complaints whatsoever. If he becomes, you know, that closer that is our guy, great. But I'm on the Soto train right now. It doesn't mean that I can't hop on to Jimenez's train later. I'm just saying right now, like, I'm a big fan of Gregory Soto. And we're going to have another game tonight against the Royals, the final of 4, and they have a 2-1 series lead. I said that they won the series. They haven't won the series yet. They could always lose tonight and end up tying, or they could just go ahead and, you know, mess around and win tonight's ball game before they host Cincinnati for 3 straight, and then St. Louis for a couple before traveling to St. Louis. So what's been really nice about this Tiger schedule, although they started on the road against Cincinnati, to be able to come home and be able to play 9 games at home before having to hit the road. The other really nice thing is that, okay, so you travel to St. Louis, you travel to Pittsburgh, you come right back home for the Sox and the Tribe. The travel is so much easier right now for this condensed season. And I didn't, you know, when they announced it, I'm like, okay, that makes total sense. Traveling to St. Louis, traveling to Pittsburgh, like Cincinnati, are you kidding me? Like, that's the way divisions should work. I'm a big fan of divisions. I think that football divisions are fantastic, and I think that the way that MLB did this for a condensed season, look, you just play your NL affiliate, if you will. Great. I think it works out really nice. And at 4-2, this isn't sustainable. Like, I'm not going to go out on a limb. Like, do I think that this team is going to win the World Series? No. Right now, the Tigers are a product of, like, Scope hitting a bomb, Jacoby Jones hitting a bomb, and that's it. They managed 4 hits in the entire game, 2 of which were home runs. The team as a whole was 4 for 27 at the dish and scored 5 runs. That's incredible. The team as a whole struck out 12 times. Miguel Cabrera is hitting 9% at the plate. 9%. 0.091. That's awful. Jamer Candelario, triple zeros in the average column. Kristen Stewart, solid 0 for 3 with 2 Ks last night. He's hitting .077. This just isn't sustainable. Thank God for Jacoby Jones. Between Jacoby Jones and Victor Reyes, those are the only 2 people over 300 right now that played yesterday. Scopes at .273. Somewhat respectable. It's just a mess. So we got to enjoy it while we can. Has some clutch hitting right there. You don't get a lot of hits, but when you do, knock it over the fence when somebody happens to be on base. Try to win the ball game. I'm happy with where we're at 4-2, but the numbers would suggest that this team, you just game for game, just try to enjoy it. And let's have a little fun. We could be a little creative. We can hype up players that I'm sure in 2 weeks are going to implode. We can once again put all of our stock invested into Ryan's guy, Miguel Cabrera, who has been in the greatest shape of his life. He's ready to go. And this is what we can roll with. To suggest that they're going to actually be competitive in 2 weeks will be interesting. But, hey, they've made it interesting through 10% of the season so far. That's all we can ask. So as long as you guys are good with that, because if you were to think about it, the Minnesota Twins right now have the best record in baseball in the American League. They're tied with the Colorado Rockies at 4-1 for the best overall record in the bigs. And behind that in the Central, you have the Yankees, Tampa Bay Rays are 4-2, the Tribe, the Tigers are both 4-2. That's it. Everybody else is looking at us. It's fun. Makes the games interesting. It's been a little wild when you think about some of the numbers that I just gave you about the poor batting averages. But outside of that, hey, this is what this season is going to be. And let's just have some fun with it. Because I mean, through 10% of the season, I can tell you, we don't have enough hitting. And the fact that guys are hitting home runs is awesome. Because all they're doing is, you know, hitting timely home runs and striking out. And the best player on the team, allegedly, can't get a hit. Can't get a hit. Can you put some quality at bats together? Sure. But eventually, Miguel Cabrera is going to have to hit the ball. Let's step aside when we return. A new G League team in town. James Edwards of The Athletic, he will join us. We'll talk NBA, the restart, the G League, the bubble, all of it. That's coming up next year on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
It's easier than ever to save, and then save some more at Meijer. Look for new signs across the store to check off your list for less. Blue signs show new permanent price drops on everyday favorites like Meijer shredded cheese. Or look for red sale signs. You'll find hot, limited-time prices, like family pack boneless skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. With all new low prices, weekly sales, and more at Meijer, how low can your price go? Exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
Bill Simonson here for Tom Rosenbach, the managing partner at Bean Garter. He wanted me to get the message out that Bean Garter is here to help if you've applied for a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program and need assistance applying for forgiveness. Bean Garter and their professionals will work with you to prepare a draft application, estimate your loan forgiveness amount, and certify how you used your loan funds. They have the knowledge and experience to make sure you're getting the most loan forgiveness possible. They make it easy so you have more time to focus on what's important, taking care of your business and your people. Learn more at beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief. You can learn more on how the professionals at Bean Garter can help you in applying for forgiveness with paycheck protection programs. Go to beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan and Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you live from the bunker and joining us right now on the horn, James Edwards of The Athletic. You're going to love his work because I love his work. And if you don't have a subscription, you should get one right now. He covers the Detroit Pistons. James, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Anthony. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. We have NBA hoops. We are almost to that time. It's been a big tease of all these exhibition games. But finally, we are going to get some basketball being played in some meaningful games. How excited are you just to get the NBA back on television, not only for these exhibitions, but also for the games that are going to begin to count?
Yeah, no, I'm super excited. As a sports fan, my two loves are basketball and soccer, and the Premier League just wrapped up. So as soon as that ended, transitioning into meaningful best, I'm super happy. And, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting, race. I think it's going to be an interesting next couple of months for, various reasons. And, yeah, I'm just very curious to see how this plays out, what teams show up, which teams perform. Is there going to be a kind of maybe some underdogs rising up because of the level playing field and the unique circumstances? There's just a lot of storylines, which I think will make for some good TV.
All right, before we get into the hoops, who's your Premier League team?
I'm a Tottenham fan.
Oh, geez. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that's the greatest of years.
Out of the, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a Manchester United fan because I came up in an era where Man U was. I mean, they were smoking hot, and you know the Premier League just started to kind of get some run over here in the States, and the FIFA game started to pop on a PlayStation. Yep. I think it was 2. So I hopped on the United bandwagon early. I mean, that's like a youngster today liking the Warriors.
Yeah, but I mean, you're kind of reaping the benefits now for sticking with them because it's been some rough years, and I mean. But over the last 3-4 months, pre-break and post-break, that's been the most exciting team in the Premier League, if you ask me. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I wasn't rooting for Leicester last weekend, but I really enjoy watching Man U.
Yeah, they're a good time for sure. Before we get into what's going on with the Pistons and the news that broke on Wednesday about a change of some things in relation to the G League, let's go back into the bubble. Do you think that the NBA bubble, I mean, you know, back-to-back testing, I don't know what we'd call them, testing series or testing weeks where they've come back with zero positive tests for COVID-19, it seems as of, you know, this point right now, the bubble idea is actually working.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show that when you get everybody on the same page and everybody follows the orders of one person, it can work. And I mean, Adam Silver deserves a lot of credit. They thought this out. The people that do leave the bubble, they have to quarantine and they can't get back in until they pass the test. And the people that are in there, everybody tested negative. And if they didn't early on, they were quarantined. And he built an infrastructure that is to not be cornered. You can't really pop that bubble. Like, it's going to be too difficult because people coming in and out, they've completely vetted everybody. They're being very cautious with when guys leave and in unique circumstances. Those guys are getting tested, like I said, and they're quarantining. It's worked flawlessly, and I really can't see it there being many hiccups unless just something drastically weird happens just based on how they're handling it and their protocol. The protocol has just been, pristine. And I can't imagine that falling off as it goes on.
Now, James, let's say, for instance, we both, happen to live in, let's say, a big metropolitan area with a nice nightlife. So let's say that we both lived in the city of, I'll go Atlanta, Georgia. And a particular player who might have some ties to the area, who was playing for a different franchise, went back and decided, he had to attend a funeral service and then decided that he was going to get some food to eat. Would you do some investigative journalism on said food restaurant? Establishment/nightclub, whatever the hell we're going to call this thing, and would you have brought friends? Could I have attended said restaurant tasting with you?
Yeah, I mean, that was funny that you say that. My coworker Kirshner, who covers the Hawks, who was in Atlanta, did this exact thing to this establishment that NBA player was at for the chicken wings, and he went and tasted them and came back with a review. I'll be jealous. This is the first time in my life I'm jealous. I don't live in Atlanta. And yeah, I would definitely. What I'm waiting for somebody on the system to mess up and do something like that, so I can get a burger at the ballet or something.
I'm right there with you. I read the piece in the Athletic as well on the food tasting, and it just brilliant stuff. I mean, that's the kind of journalism that we need in the world today when everything is so serious all the time. We need something to lighten up our spirits and give us a chance a little bit. The news on Wednesday is that the Pistons were parting ways with the Grand Rapids Drive and that they are going to get a new G League team in Detroit. What was the thought process? What have you heard? Why is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, the groundwork's been laid for the last few seasons. It's been no secret that Detroit, the Pistons, I should say, have been wanting to get a G League team in the city. The new practice arena had a locker room built for a G League team. They did the deal with Wayne State, I believe, 2019 to build a new arena that would house a G League team. Dwayne Casey, since he's got here, that's one thing he's kind of just been harping on, is getting the minor league team as close to the team as possible. I mean, Grand Rapids, as you know, is far. It's far from the rest of the populated area of Michigan, especially Detroit. And a team that's undergoing a rebuild is going to utilize that minor league system, that minor league team a lot. It only makes sense to get them as close as possible. So I was told from a source that Grand Rapids is going to remain a G League team, but after the contract is up after next year, after 2020 and 2021, they're going to be unaffiliated for the time being. Something obviously can manifest between them, but right now there's no plans for them to join one of the three NBA teams that don't have a direct G League affiliate. And they didn't want to leave Grand Rapids, from what I was told. They wanted to be there, be a local entity. I believe they have pretty good turnout. They just didn't have, the owners didn't have interest in leaving, and the Pistons had interest in getting a G League team to the city. So one was for sale, and they went and bought it, and they're bringing it up north.
You know, James Edwards joining us from The Athletic right now. There is a I don't know what the belief is in the NBA circles, but it seemed like the Detroit Pistons utilized the G League more so than many other franchises. And it's always been interesting to me, would minor league basketball work? You know what I mean? Because the roster size is so small and each individual's impact on the game is exponential in comparison to, let's say, baseball or hockey that has a couple of minor leagues, whether you're AHL or ECHL, baseball with 18 different minor leagues. You can go all the way to the Dominican Summer League if you want to try to find a guy right within your wheelhouse. But does it work in basketball? And do you see it working having another pro team at downtown Detroit?
Good question with two different answers. From a logistics standpoint, in terms of basketball and development and running a basketball business, I think, it makes total sense. I mean, you want to have everything in synergy, you want working, you want it to be intertwined, you want to be able to, the veterans even doing a rehab assignment, you want to be, you can spend them 10 minutes down the street to go work out with the G League team rather than either put them on a plane or make them drive 2 hours. A young guy could practice with the Pistons in the morning and go practice or play with the drive at night if they're not going to play on the main team. It's just way more efficient. And in terms of will it work in Detroit, and I agree with you, I think minor leagues have a place for it. What I think needs to happen, where I think minor leagues, and it really depends on the location, but I do think a lot of the minor league teams, to be most impactful, should be not necessarily, while they should be close to the main team, for lack of a better term, I do think they should be in cities that are kind of vacant of those type of entertainment avenues. So, like, for example, I lived in Lansing for a while. Like, people love the Lugnuts. Like, they don't sell out, but they have promo nights that do really well. People take in Lansing take pride in the Lugnuts. Like, I'm sure people in Grand Rapids take pride in the Drive. I think having teams in those kind of niche markets is beneficial, because for a lot of these cities, that is the entertainment. Now, I think it would have been cool to maybe Flint's too far away, but I think you get the idea of what I'm saying. Like, putting the team in Flint or putting the team in Pontiac or what's another? I think, you know, like, cities that are close enough to where it's not a hassle to drive, but also these their own little communities and can kind of curate their own fan bases. I think that's important for minor leagues. I think it will work in Detroit because the goal is to obviously be a tunnel and a funnel for the main team, which is what they're there for. But in terms of like attendance and turnout, I mean, it might not work. I mean, the new gym's going to be 3,000 seats. So, I mean, and it's going to be on Wayne State. So I think it'll be fine. I think it'll work. I'm still of the belief that I do like minor league teams in kind of those more niche markets.
East James,
Grand Rapids is just too far. Yeah,
it's a little bit of a drive. I get what you were saying with Flint, Pontiac, you know, some of those other areas outside of the city where you can cultivate your own fan base, but maybe having the drive in Detroit allows and opens the door for fans to see professional basketball that might not be able to go the full length of spending a ticket and trying to get in the door at LCA. So it might actually, you know, kind of offer up some other opportunities to some folks that might otherwise not have an opportunity to take their kids. You know, family of four going to a pro game isn't exactly just like a walk in the park. Like, these things can get expensive in a hurry. You throw in a pizza, a popcorn, a couple of drinks. Next thing you know, it's like $300, and you're like, what are we doing here? You know, so it could be a really unique opportunity for a lot of fans to get in there. And with this new G League Select team that's coming out, we might even see the quality of the G League kind of go up. And just because you're in the G League doesn't mean that you're any bum. I mean, you're running anybody else off the floor, any of these any Twitter tough guy who wants to go out there and hoop it up. So It's a unique opportunity and a cool opportunity for the Pistons and for the fans as well to, like you said, I mean, you just drive, you know, right down the road and boom, you know, you can practice and play with both.
For sure. Like, if there's anybody out there that thinks their favorite college team is going to beat the worst G League team, you're wrong. Like, the G League are, these are professional players. I remember Stan Van Gundy when he was the coach of the Pistons, my first year covering the team. He said literally, like, the only difference between the last 50 guys in the G League, or the top 50 guys in the G League, and the last 50 guys in the NBA is opportunity. It's circumstance. It's not skill gap. So, and I mean, for like the Pistons are rebuilding. There's going to be a lot of young players, so they're going to send a lot of these guys to go play with this new G League team. And if you're a fan of the young guys, like I remember when I was a kid, like every player the Lions drafted that was a rookie was like my new favorite player. You're going to get a chance to go see these guys. And now I hate the Lions, so we're it's come full circle almost.
Hey man, isn't that the truth? Every time somebody gets drafted, it's like, oh man, I mean, Sekou Doumbouya, I mean, here's a name that, you know, when people saw it at first, you know, I was one of those people like, okay, how exactly are we going to pronounce this? And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Sekou kid can play, we could have a lot of fun with this guy. And you know, he had his ups and downs throughout the season and spent some time in the G League kind of going back and forth. And what was your takeaway from the Pistons first round pick from this season? I mean, obviously the season cut short, but what did you make of Mr. Doumbouya?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he looked overwhelmed for most of it. But again, I don't know if people know this fact. He was the youngest player in the NBA. He was the youngest player drafted. He didn't turn 18 until December. I mean, nobody should have expected him to do anything. The Pistons made a pick for the future, a pick that they can mold and hope turns into something. And given circumstances, injuries, and the team pivoting and going toward a rebuild, he ended up getting called up and finishing the year up to when it was suspended with the big boys. And he had his moments. Those first 2 weeks, he was really good. I can say really good. He was solid. I think he impressed people. He turned some heads, all culminating with that dunk on Tristan Thompson. And then it kind of just, he looked like he had never played that much basketball against that type of competition before. He looked exactly like you would expect an 18-year-old a newly turned 18-year-old to look. And it was always going to be a project with him, and it's going to continue to be one for the next few years.
James, I am a big proponent of Christian Wood. He caught fire in the preseason. I'd like to think that I started the fan club south of the Michigan border there for a while about this Christian Wood guy. Just wait. And you just mentioned the word opportunity, and what Stan Van had told you about the difference between the G League and the NBA guys is just having that opportunity and that chance. And he really seized his opportunity playing 62 games. He averaged 13-6 and actually had the highest player efficiency rating out of any player on the Pistons squad. Christian Wood, a guy that plays power forward, same position as, you know, what the Pistons would be getting out of a guy like Blake Griffin. So, I mean, moving forward, is Christian Wood one of the guys that they're going to keep on this squad because of what they can, you know, he's not going to command that top dollar. He's a pretty damn good player. Like, it seems like he would be in the mix and in the fold for the future.
Yeah, I mean, my gut tells me, yeah, like you said, he's only, I think he turns 25 soon, kind of your prototypical new age big man in terms of being able to put the ball on the floor, shoot the three, athletic, fearless. Defensively, he's shown flashes that need to get better as a rim protector, but I think there's something there for him to build on. Yeah, and I think coming before COVID, I thought it was going to be interesting because he was playing so well as a starter in big minutes. And granted, the Pistons season was done and other teams were probably resting guys, getting ready for the playoffs, and it's just a weird kind of way to evaluate those type of games toward the end of the year. But he did what he had to do. He started and was the best player on the team for about a month or two. And I was kind of curious, like, how much he could get. I had people tell me it could be $16 million a year, it could be $17 million. Now with COVID, the lack of teams with cap space and the cap going down, and then you throw in just kind of him only doing this for a couple months of his short career. I mean, he has primarily been in the G League and in the back end of teams' roster. So there's hesitation. I do think they bring him back because he is talented and you rebuild to get guys like Christian Wood. But there is some, I mean, Troy Weaver's the new decision maker. You would imagine that he likes him. One of the last games he got to see before the Thunder season ended was Christian Wood putting up a career night against that team in OKC. But yeah, I think they might be able to get him a little cheaper than I thought in February, given all the circumstances. But I mean, my gut tells me that they want him back and plan on bringing him back.
James, the Pistons finished with the fifth worst record in the league. Yes, worse than the New York Knicks. They had lost their last five in a row, and their final 10 games, they were 1-9 in. It wasn't looking pretty there. Coming down the stretch, what do you make of this Pistons team moving forward, hopefully with a healthy Blake Griffin, hopefully with a full go, Derrick Rose, you know, Luke Kennard? The roster doesn't seem that bad on paper, but it just doesn't seem like they could figure it all out.
Yeah, a lot of guys with injury histories. That's going to hurt. I mean, yeah, they're focused on the future. They're focused on drafting well, developing those guys. I mean, we could talk about the G League. KP kind of got his name in Toronto from developing the young guys, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, shipping them back and forth to the G League and back to the Raptors roster. And now they're two of the best players on the title holders right now. But you're going to see that type of youth, I think, in Detroit. You've seen it already last year with Sekou and Luke King and guys like that. The focus is on the future, drafting well, because that's kind of the reason they're in the position they are now, poor drafting over the years. They haven't had any top five picks since Darko, but, I mean, if you look at the people who are drafted after them, after some of their selections over the years, like, there was good players to be had. And so They think now they got the right people in there to make those decisions and get those guys, and they got a clear cap sheet, almost clear, $30 million. Blake Griffin's deal is really the only significant one on the roster. So fresh start, you're able to build it from the ground up, and I think they stay true to plan and follow that.
He's James Edwards of The Athletic. Find his work on theathletic.com, covering the Detroit Pistons. And, of course, find him on Twitter as well. James, thank you so much for your time today, and enjoy tonight's doubleheader on TNT with the Utah Jazz against the Pelicans and the Clippers and the Lakers in the nightcap. Thanks again, my friend.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
Huge here for my good friend Mark Ewell. He's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, they've been trying to find the balance between safety and the return to play for high school athletes throughout Michigan. You can get the latest news from their Lansing office at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook, and online at MHSAA.com. They are currently formulating plans for the fall, spring, and the entire upcoming school year when it comes to high school sports, including summer trainings and workouts that could lead into scrimmages and practices beginning for fall sports. So again, go to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook to get the latest on COVID-19 and its impact on the return of high school sports in Michigan. Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle. During the $1 million summer, Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 million summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.